Did you visit a lot of those older roadside attractions when you were growing up? I mean, you mentioned Gatorland.
No, we went to tons of. Florida is such a big state too that I think I didn't have a lot of references from saner states because it's just so long. And we started out of Miami, and so we'd go on these road trips. We never really made it much north of Tampa. Like, we would just get exhausted and like slowly sink back down the peninsula. So I also had this sort of nostalgia for places that I wasn't able to go because my parents were always talking about, you know, the Serpentarium. Or sort of these kind of mom and pop places that had vanished by the time I was born in the 80s. So we went to some, and then also I just kind of was bathed in, you know, the glory days talk of these older generations.
Do you think as a writer, though, I mean, are you more attracted to places which have got a slightly quirky edge to them rather than the bigger, more well put together theme parks?
Oh yeah, always, always. I mean, I would always prefer, you know, like Parrot Jungle, where it's just a little not ugly stepsister, you know, but it doesn't have kind of that corporate sheen. I think I wasn't so crazy about, every kid loves Disney, right? It's sort of compulsory in Florida. And then your parents pay so much for those passes that, that you know, you feel obliged to love it. But I remember being a little put off by, there's a kind of passivity that place encourages. It's like your dreams have been spoon-fed to you. They've already been milled by this corporate machine, and I think even kids sense that. So these weirder places that were truly eccentric, run by, you know, cross-eyed outlaws and overly familiar, you know, women in fake Indian dress or whatever, those places I like just because they felt human and weird. Mm-hmm. And there was room to imagine if you're a kid.
Just thinking about the Everglades, and you talk about the sense of loss of the environment there. I mean, I get the feeling that, especially with a lot of Florida fiction, that sort of there's this sort of blend of environmentalism and adventure. And I think, you know, some of the kind of comedy crime writers like Carl Hiaasen,
yeah,
and Dave Barry. I mean, why does that work so well?
Oh, gosh. Well, I love both of those guys. I owe them a great debt. You know, when I was like in sixth grade, I would read like Dave Barry Turns 40. And I was like, it's so true what he says about turning 40, you know. And I thought both of them did such a good job of using humor as a force for the good, you know, to point out some of the really absurd and dangerous things, you know, South Florida politics and things like that. There's something really immersive about South Florida's environment. I mean, the landscape here, you can't walk outside without sort of encountering snakes and birds and palm trees and you know, it's just so densely foliated. So I think there's like this sense in Florida that the landscape is actually a character. It's a living, breathing, you're always interacting with it, right? And then adventure-wise, I don't think many people think of Florida as a frontier, but it is. It's sort of the southernmost part of the country. And I mean, as anybody who lives here knows, all kinds of lunacy is flowering at all times. We have like a year-round growing season for just lunacy. And those two, I think, they're really deeply connected to the matter-of-fact weirdness of South Florida. And it's a good place to send a character kind of kayaking out into no man's land. There's sort of whatever direction you go in Florida can become a twilight zone. So,
Are you living in Philadelphia at the moment, correct?
Yeah, I'm in Philly right now.
Do you miss Florida?
Oh my gosh, I miss it so much. I wish I had more time down here. Philly's great too, but there is something really unique about whatever weird brew we've got down this way.